SF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
To touch you and me. We'll be right back.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. We're starting off with quite a few technical difficulties, both on streaming and starting off the show. So, my first song didn't play for some reason, then I realized, I don't know why I didn't want to play. I don't know. One of those things. Anyway, hope you're doing all right wherever you are in the world. My name is DJ Ian. We're live here from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Big hello to everyone at houseofprog.com and of course on CJSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver. We've got a special show today. We're going to change gears. We're going to get into the prog stuff a little later, but I got a new CD in the mail, or CD collection actually. This one, Mr. M's. So we're going to be playing an hour of Northern Soul. You don't know what Northern Soul is, this will be the show for you to get yourself edumacated. Basically what it is, it's three CDs, two is music and then one is a radio show. A conversation with DJ Dave Everson, who is a DJ, was a DJ at Mr. M's. And if you don't know what Mr. M's was, other than the name of my band, Mr. M's was a side room at the Wigan Casino. So we're going to be playing music that was made somewhat famous at that venue back in the day. Now, why Wigan? Well, that was my hometown. It's also where the current Prime Minister of Great Britain is from. That new Prime Minister that they've got over there is hanging out with Charles, his missus. So basically for the first hour of the show today, it will be that. And it's a radio show that went out in 2017, I believe, in the UK. You won't be hearing anything from me for the first hour. Here we go.
Roll back the carpets with Dave Everson on the Hit Mix.
Hello there and welcome along to a one-off special show tonight here on Hit Mix 107.5. I'll be taking an in-depth look at one of the lesser-known venues on the Northern Soul Circuit, which started life 43 years ago. Over the course of 7.5 years, from 1974 to 1981, this relatively small but hugely influential venue created its own special identity as the number one oldies nighter in the country. And yet it was quite literally in the shadow of an even more iconic and infamous place, that being, of course, the Wigan Casino. And the name of its noisy neighbour? Well, it was Mr. M's, the club within a club.
Welcome to Hitmix 107.5, my very special studio guest, and I say this 100%, and this guy uses that hell of a lot, 100%. I'd like to introduce Mr. M's favourite of mine, Mr. Dave Everson. Hello, Dave.
Good evening and welcome. How are you, mate?
I'm very, very well indeed. We're talking now about this Mr. M's special that's coming out, and you were a big part, as I remember, in Mr. M's itself.
I was indeed, Robbie. Well, not for me to say, but I certainly was one of the original residents resident DJs, if you like. And actually, funnily enough, the only DJ who actually did both rooms, resident, if you like, on both in both rooms every week. But if you're asking me how M started, it was rather a strange one, really. It came about actually quite by accident. On the night of the first anniversary, September the 21st, 1974, it was a Saturday, of course, such was the popularity of the first year of Wigan Casino itself, there were literally hundreds of people outside, and the police came along. The bottom line was they said, look, you know, you've got to clear the road because the traffic can't get through. And of course, Jerry Marshall, who incidentally the club was named after Jerry, it was called Mr. M's and after Jerry Marshall, he and Mike Walker, his manager, got their heads together and said, well, we've been threatened with actual complete closure, and you know, there'll be chaos, there'll be anarchy outside, so we need to open the other room, which was called Mr. M's, the cabaret room. And it was literally a cabaret room. It had been right through the 60s, called the Palais de Danse, in actual fact. So when you had a situation really at 1 o'clock in the morning, where you've still got hundreds of people outside, the police saying, you know, these people have got to go, and they've got nowhere to go. There was another room, actually, another play, well, another room. It was a street-level club called the Beachcomber, which had been there from the very beginning, and that was used as a warm-up sort of venue. But on this particular night, there were so many people there and so many people without tickets and so many people who were thinking, hang on, we're not going to get in here. They're not going to allow us in. So if we go into this Beachcomber place, we're not going to get out. They'll probably lock us in. And it was actually a very strong rumour. So what happened was, I mean, this is quite an important part of the history, really. This, I might be going on a bit, but it's quite important because this is how it all came about. You had a situation where the four DJs in the Beachcomber place, who were entertaining a very small crowd, decided that they were going to have to go into Mr. M's, and we had a situation, a ridiculous situation, where the people in the cabaret room were coming out down the stairs, and it was a very tiny staircase, like you'd have in your home, and you got these four DJs literally hauling decks and record boxes and turntables and speakers out of the Beachcomber into Mr. M, so it could become the overspill, if you like, for the first anniversary. Eventually, it did open at 3 o'clock in the morning. That said, these poor four DJs, and in fairness, a few people who wanted to help out, if you like, because they wanted to get on with it, sorted out there was 40 odd tables. I beg your pardon. There was probably about 70 tables and chairs that had to come out of the room as well, to create a dance floor. So they had to rip up the carpet as well. All this was very sudden and very immediate. You know, it was a crazy situation, but it did come off. And had it not been for them opening Mr. M's, the anniversary would never have taken place. And goodness knows what might have happened after that.
Talking really good sense here, because I remember, because I was one of those punters stuck outside, actually, yeah, Dave, yeah, in the Beachcomber. Can you remember the first record being played? And we're going to go to the first choice here, so I'm going to put the onus on you now, Dave. The first record that was ever played in M's.
I can indeed. And it was called Hey Salonet by Mickey Lee Lane. It was an old Twisted Wheel record, as were most of the records then, because this was 1974, so the only records we could play were from clubs prior to that, i.e. the Highland Room in Blackpool, I'm sure you remember that, Blackpool Mecca, The Torch here in Stoke-on-Trent, The Catacombs of Wolverhampton, and Twisted Wheel Records. And that really was, the very first record played was a Twisted Wheel record, because it was all oldies. It was all about oldies. Mr. M's was the oldies venue.
And the record
was Hey Salonet.
I got a song in my mind.
Feel the one.
That's Mickey Lee Lane and Hey Salonet, the first record, as I say, played in Mystery Realm September 21st, 1974.
Great night it was, Dave, on that particular event. Like I say, I was there myself. There's something I didn't realise, by the way, that you actually mentioned, that Ems came from the name Marshall.
It did. Jerry Marshall was the owner. He actually leased it from the council, the whole building. It was in 1921 it was built, so it was a very, very old building, but got one of these great big, huge Victorian old buildings. And as I say, the actual Mr. M's resembled a miniature casino. The casino, for those people who didn't frequent the Wigan Casino, it was nearly all dance floor with tables and chairs around the side, a very large stage, about 6 foot off floor level, dance floor level, and little alcoves. And then you went upstairs to Mr. M's, and it was an identical situation, but sort of quarter the size. It had its own little balcony and its own little tables and chairs and alcoves as well.
You know, many people had favourite DJs there. I've got to say this, you're in my company, and I'm not saying it because you're sitting in front of me, Dave, but you were in my top three. Can you name us some of the other DJs? I mean, forgive me for this, but it's been a long, long time since I was on the Northern Soul scene. And just give me the names again to jog my memory, Dave.
Well, these guys actually, in the main, were nearly all local and nearly all from the Wigan area itself, naturally. And they'd been doing the pubs and clubs in the Wigan area. Alan Kane, for example, who was mentioned before, was the first person to play House at Ace Salonet that we just played you as the very first record. Brian Rigby was his big partner. They're still around. They still live in Wigan to this day, but they're not actually DJing, but they're still big record collectors. Steve Whittle, again, he was from the Aspel area of Wigan, as was Ian Wills. That's right, Ian Wills, who joined the sort of throng towards the end of the seven-year period, I beg your pardon. So they were local. I mean, I was actually from the Stoke-on-Trent area originally, but lived in Manchester during the course of the casino and obviously Ems as well. So I was a sort of the outsider. The Soul Twins as well, mustn't forget them. Derek and, I beg your pardon, Stuart and Neil Brackenbridge, they were from Horwich, which was not far from Wigan. Derek Gallagher from Bolton. Kenny Spence, mustn't forget him, he was another Aspel lad, which is a village near to Wigan. And we must mention Mike Rollo as well. You know, Mike Rollo, what a fantastic presenter. He wasn't there very long, and in actual fact, he emigrated, sadly he's passed away now, but he emigrated over to, I think it was either Sicily or Denmark, I'm not sure which, but he did a lot abroad at DJing. He was a very good presenter, and he was fantastic in Mr. M's. So that was it. They were the sort of 10 resident DJs, but we're talking over a long period of time. There were a lot of guests, lot of people who said they did the odd one. I'm not sure if they did, because I can't remember.
No. Many, many great records were played at that nightclub, Dave.
Yep.
And I use the term nightclub because it was a club within a club, like you rightfully say, Mr. M's. So we're going to go to your next choice then, Dave.
Yeah, this is Norman Johnson of Showmen fame. Actually, interestingly, he's got a distinctive voice, really distinctive voice, and you'll know him from Chairman of the Board. Actually died quite recently, I think, within the last 12 months, sadly, as so many of them do, because, of course, I'm in my 60s. These people are in the 70s and 80s now. Norman Johnson, the Showmen, and Our Love Will Grow.
Deepest sea, deepest sea, deepest sea.
Come here.
Norman Johnson and the Showmen, from another one from the originally played at the Twisted Wheel, but was a very big Mr. M's favourite, and again, is to this day. There's a handful of about 50 or 60 records which have stood the test of time right through, what, the last 50 years. In fact, there's probably more than that, but that certainly would be up there. Very current, and, you know, it's one of those that you do know because it's stood the test of time.
Very knowledgeable on your music, Dave. I've got to say this. I mean, and not only with Northern, but with every aspect of music that you do actually cover. The next choice, a song that was an instrumental song. Tell us a little bit more about this. It was Mood Mosaic.
Yeah, this is a real strange one. This actually, if you're old enough to remember, a guy called Simon D, who was on pirate radio and also went on to do big things on television with a program called D Time. And this famous opening segment, if you like, of I think it was black and white telly, actually. So it would have been mid-60s, and he used to come down the spiral car park of the Piccadilly in Manchester. It was a multi-storey car park, sorry. And he'd come down in a white E-type Jaguar to this theme tune with a couple of Dolly Birds sat in the back seat. And, yeah, he had that. DLT, another well-known radio DJ, national radio DJ, used it on Caroline before he joined national radio. And interestingly, this particular record was recorded also by Ron Grainer. And Ron Grainer did a lot of TV themes, notably Doctor Who theme. I mean, he was responsible for all that electronic music. And he did a couple of versions on the Wigan Casino Classics label, which actually was quite a big hit in actual fact. But the original version, which you're about to play, Robbie, was from 1966. And it's the Mood Mosaics and A Touch of Velvet, A Sting of Brass. Yeah, rather a left field tune, that one, Touch of Elvis Tinkerbrass. I think we were quite well known really in Mr. Remsha, playing sort of quite obscure oldies. Tony Joe White springs to mind, country rock singer, Poke Saladani, but massive, you know. KG, the Nightlighters. So it was a really good mishmash of music. And we like to break oldies actually that hadn't been played prior to 74. So I can remember distinctly playing Spider Turner first, Can't Make It Anymore. And a shock horror, the looks I got from the record bar, because they were all purists and they, you can't play that, there's 10,000 copies. Lovely story there very quickly, Robbie, because this is nice. On the Monday morning after the casino, I had a phone call, which is very unusual, from John Anderson, who owned the Soul Bowl record company. Well, it wasn't a company, he was a wholesaler of import records. And all the top DJs would wait to see his list on a Monday morning. And they, of course, there was no mobiles in those days. So they would ring him, and it was the first one to try and get through to him to get the then really rare records, which would be up to £100 in, 1974, a lot of money. And of course, they couldn't get through. He was engaged. And the reason he was engaged was because he'd rung me. I was very honoured and very flattered and indeed very shocked. He said, he's a Scottish gentleman. He said, "See, Dave, are you playing Spade of Tanner on Saturday night at Wigan?" I said, I was, why? "I got a barn full," he says. They were 50p, they've gone up to £2. So, I mean, the motto of that story is really nice, because the motto of that story is that it's... there's people who want to hear music, there's people who want to buy records. It was an underplayed record which was never going to see the light of day unless somebody like me took a chance and played it. People on the dance floor loved it, realised how good it was. And it's all relative. So, the rarity value went up, okay, only a couple of quid. But it was in demand suddenly, even though there's a lot more copies than any other of the rarer records, shall we say. But nevertheless, it still was relative to the scene itself. And the demand suddenly went through the roof. And it's just it turned it on its head, if you like, from the 60s new rarities.
M's as an oldies, yeah. Room, and that's what it was basically was, Dave. Playing music from, of course, The Torch, Twisted Wheel,
Blackpool Mecca, Catacombs,
all that sort of stuff. The entry into M's was a fate in itself. Tell us more about that, Dave. The entry into M's.
Okay, first of all, you got two for the price of one. You didn't pay two admissions. You paid one admission to come in off the street level in Station Road, up one little small flight of stairs. You said, "Give Mrs. Wood your money," and you were into the whole entire building. So you'd go up one flight of stairs, and if you wanted to go to the main room, you'd go straight through the first double doors. If you wanted to go upstairs to the balcony, and they actually had a fish and chip, not a fish, but certainly chips you could get, I think it was, and tea and coffee and whatever, on the top floor balcony. But if you went up the next flight of stairs from main room level, you'd go through another set of double doors, where you put on the top of the stairs, and keep going left. I can see it now. Goodness me. Stand down the balcony, the top of the balcony, overlooking the main dance room, down